Members of the House, welcome back. I apologize for starting a few minutes late. We're still in that business of third reading and final passage of bills. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 170.
House Bill 170, introduced by Representative Dirks, an act relating to medical care and unreimbursed medical trauma care services being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 170 does have an amendment to it. In fact, yes, third reading amendment number one. Representative Phil, would you care to move that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 170. And the reason for that amendment is that during testimony, they mentioned that they currently have this amount of money in the bank already, so to speak, in an account, because they've never gotten their rules well done. And so they really don't need that amount of money.
Representative Burks.
Mr. Speaker, you might guess I'm opposing the amendment. It's true that the $2.5 million is still there, but members of the body need to realize that $2.5 million is going to be called for, and there was only a one-year opportunity there. And so if we were to take the money out of this bill and still send it on, what we really have is ambulance services would suddenly be allowed in the concept of the bill, but they would have no practical way of fitting in. And so if it is a matter of the amount of money, as I told you earlier, the amount of money was taken from last year's bill. There was nothing new or different about that. And so if we still feel like it was a good idea and we want to continue it, I would urge the members of the House to continue this bill. If we need to adjust the money, it would maybe that be further along down in the process.
Representative Peterson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly urge the body to support the amendment here, because in the appropriations we heard that there was funds already in here, and they're looking at a substantial sum of money to go in here, and the only thing that's holding this whole thing up is rules and regulations, and I'm not certain when rules and regulations will ever come into being, so therefore we are less than 1 year away from a general session, and I would urge the body to support this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Hyrum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in support of, I'm asking us to be defeating this amendment, but I do realize that we have a need to hold the line, and I realize where we're at in the real world of budgeting for the state. I do want to give a couple of pieces of information. One is an add-on to what the previous speaker said from Mapleton County, that this is adding in other services that were covered in the other bill last year, and that adds in the ambulance services all over the state, for the fact that we're the only state in the United States that has a mandatory trauma care program. And $75 million is not written off in the state of Wyoming in uncompensated care. So on the one hand, we have the extreme costs, of which this is not very much money, but on the other hand, it is a lot of money as we're trying to hold the line. And we'll have to just have to exercise your own vote on that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Second time, bringer of the amendment, Representative Phil.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take a look at your golden rod and we're about $460 million underwater. And even if we weren't, I think that we need to kind of see how this program works before we put a whole lot more money in it. And the other thing is, once they get it working,
not sure if I could use any amount of money we could put in there. But let's get this started and see how it works. And I ask you to support the amendment.
We are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 170. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Division being called for. All those in favor of the amendment, please rise. Those opposed, please rise. Is not adopted. We are voting on the House Bill 170. House Bill 170.
Point of order, what was the council?
28-27, correct. 28 in favor, 27 opposed.
As adopted.
Is that what I said? Oh, my apologies. The amendment is adopted. I know it was. That doesn't mean I said something. I wrote a big A on it right here. A for adopted. Don't give me more than one task. House Bill 170, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill be returned? Should the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Baby, Barnard, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Huggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Hardy, Bastard, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Bandon, Lockhart, Hubno, Martin, McCulley, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Peterson, Philp, Towers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semler, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanson, Mr. Speaker, Powers, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 10 excused.
House Bill 170, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, House Bill 170 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 171.
House Bill 171, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to controlled substances, methamphetamine possession penalties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 171 does have an amendment. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 17. Representative Lubnow, would you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 171. This is an amendment that was brought to me by the Department of Family Services, who asked me to remove the mandatory minimum sentences for juveniles. Since I spoke so eloquently about mandatory minimum sentences earlier in the day, and I'm sponsoring a bill which provides for mandatory minimum sentences, it made sense that I would remove those and urge the adoption of this friendly amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? For first-time question, which being called on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 171. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. House Bill 171 having read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Gingery. Buckles, Hageman, Hammonds, Hirschman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Michael, Dillaway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Putnam, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, excuse, Powers, aye, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, excused, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 171 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 171 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 181. House Bill 181 introduced by Representative Lee Dagan, Act relating to local governments' revenue distribution to local governments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Are there any amendments?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 181. This amendment is found on page 8, line 16 of the bill. And what this language does is to indicate that on that line 16, that it's only line 15, to transfer not more than 50% of the money into the Bigger Impact Fund. But this, what this amendment does is looking at the line 10 of section 2, there's going to be a amount of money deposited in that. In that section of the bill for the purpose of distributing money to the SLAP for the mineral impact at counties and for those who are not affected by the mineral impact. And now would simply say whatever amount of money this is, let's just distribute it on a 50-50 basis. I believe a fact sheet is just being distributed on the floor right now. It has House District 1 on the top. And my reasons for asking you to support this amendment really has to do with the distribution of population among those 8 counties that have been commonly referred to as our impact counties and the population in those other 15 counties. You can see that the population distribution is right about 50% of each side. So in the spirit of fairness, I would think that if the money is going to fall on the people, that this would be an amendment that we would want to support. So I ask your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Representative Wilson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge your defeat of this amendment. The couple things we need to distinguish here is that we have to look at
versus cities and towns. Just because a county has a small population, and because of that small population, the tax revenue that is collected is so skewed to the upside, because fortunately it is very wealthy county, that doesn't necessarily mean those municipalities within that county are revenue blessed. And quite frankly, they are not revenue blessed. They're struggling. They're struggling. Let's make that distinction. Just because the county is wealthy doesn't mean the cities and towns within that county are necessarily wealthy. And they are not. I can speak to the county I'm from. Yes. Yes. And I stand here humbly before you saying that the county that I'm from is blessed right now. Very well blessed. But I also can say that the three municipalities are not. They're struggling. They're impacted. Now, if we look at the population in those three communities, it's far less than the county itself. I mean, the majority of the people live in the county. We need to help those three communities, not necessarily help the county themselves. I would urge your defeat in this. This really changes the whole substance of the bill. This is a short-term fix, and I'm very, very confident that those communities that apply for it will do the right thing to where they don't have to come back over and over and over again because they're looking at it, they're moving forward. I urge your defeat of this amendment.
Representative Marshall, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I must be having some impact on this issue. A good gentleman from House District 1 has come around in my mind of thinking where dollars should follow people. And I appreciate that argument, but I tell you what, I think this amendment totally and drastically changes this bill. And this is set out to be a direct distribution, a slip grant process for impact, and then a special direct distribution for those revenue challenged cities and counties. If dollars do in fact follow people, let's take the current $253 million in this bill and let's scrap it. Let's do follow dollars follow people. I know the folks in my community be all for it, and many others throughout the state. So I congratulate your defeat of this amendment. I think it drastically changes the speaker's bill and the whole intent that's been worked on for so long. And I appreciate the rigor, but I would encourage your no vote on this amendment. Mr. Speaker, for your first step.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I too would encourage no vote on this amendment. And it's not because of an issue of fairness or how to distribute the money. Again, I come back to the original purpose of the bill, the groups that have worked a while to try and make this, I think, a fair compromise and a vehicle which is still available. But because it is a vehicle, we should be having these kinds of debates. We should be able to determine whether we want to change the percentage. But I would recommend that we not do that. And you look at the 181 as a total package, which does involve two different direct grants to cities, towns, and counties, as well as an application process for communities, counties, and special districts.
Anyone else for the first time? Are you second time? Representative Sinlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, I think we sometimes are reluctant, and rightfully so, to get into debate on this floor about the haves and have-nots. Sometimes I don't think it serves the people of our state very well when we develop our discussions around those types of things. But also on this fact sheet, members of the House, I'd like to just point out on the breakout that we have in that last column on the potential per capita property and sales tax and use tax collection in these counties that have been split out as mineral impacted and the 15 that haven't been mineral impacted. You know, the debate sometimes gets emotional and I appreciate that, but really you look at the facts of the way that dollars should follow people. You look at the disparity really between the counties that have been listed as being impacted versus the rest of the counties. I think this is just an opportunity through the SLIP board really to develop some equality in the way that we distribute it to money across the state. Now, looking at what we've done in education, there's certainly it's not a fundamental right as it is in the funding for cities, towns, and county as it is in education to make sure that we distribute those resources fairly. And we talk about the No Child Left Behind and NCLB. I just submit to you that this is a proposal for your consideration where we're really not leaving any city or county left behind. So, there's money in the budget bill, $63 million that's set aside in the SLED. There's certainly other ways that we can move money around in this plan. And I just encourage you to just look at the numbers and look at the way that money should flow to people and look at the potential that we have up across our state and to meet the needs of the services for our people. So just ask you to think about this and ask you to support this amendment.
You've heard the amendment. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 181, please say aye. All opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Third reading amendment number 2, Representative Miller.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 181. I'll explain the bill in a second, but first I want everyone to find the little table that was passed out sometime this morning. And in anticipation of this bill coming up a couple hours ago, so you may have to dig down to find it. In this table, there's a
Representative Miller. 181. Okay, Miller at the top. Thank you.
Okay, there's on this table, there's 4 columns. The first column is the town or city, your community is listed there. The column mark number 1 is where we are right now after committee of the whole work, amending the revenue committee work, and reading number 2 work, where we stand right now. The funds your community will receive, according to the bill as it stands right now, is shown in column number 1. This amendment, third reading amendment number 2, is the third column on there, the one that has the 2 at the top. And what that column is and what this bill does, it moves all the money back into Section 1 of House Bill 181. It moves the money from Section 4 back to Section 1 and simply distributes the money on a per capita basis. So this is the true amount if we were to do it on a person-by-person basis to the cities and towns in the state. That's the money your city or community would receive. So where we are is that column 1. Where we would be with this bill is the final column mark number 2 for third reading amendment 2 on the right. And you can make your communities out there see how it's going to work. Basically, you can look at the dozen largest cities in Wyoming. All of them would receive more money. There's only 1 city out of the top dozen that would receive less money. So take a look, put your consoles up or down on third reading amendment number 2.
Representative Buchanan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. This body has defeated amendments like this the last 2 days, and make no mistake about it. This amendment goes even a step further than the amendments you've defeated before. Not only does it take the money out of Section 4, takes the $6.5 million and puts it into Section 1, it also takes away the weighted formula that's been in this bill from the beginning. And just want to remind the body, that's the same weighted formula that we used a couple years ago when we gave $57.5 million to cities, towns, and counties. And basically what this is, you'll see that the next amendment kind of just backs off of that. Just takes the money out and leaves the weighted formula. So both of these, this amendment and the next one, are ones that you should vote against. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, there is no perfect bill here. There is no perfect way of distributing this money. We all know that we need to get more operating funds to our local governments, and that's what this bill attempts to do. It attempts it through several different methods, and one method may work for one county or community, and another method may work for that another county and community. But in the end, I hope it's somewhat balanced. As you look at this amendment and several more, there's a fact sheet that I pass out every year. The one I did this year went out this morning. It looks like this. There's my name on the top and my house district. It's got a shaded area on it. And what this shows you is every county, and whether or not they have the fifth penny sales tax in place or the sixth penny sales tax in place. It also shows you some mill levies. As you go through this amendment and some of those following, I'm going to be referring to this saying, okay, how does this help? And then looking at this and saying, are they trying to help themselves? Have they passed their fifth and sixth penny sales tax? If they've done everything they can to try to help themselves, then I'm probably going to vote for the amendment if it's going to help them. And if it's an amendment that helps a county that's refused to pass the taxes on themselves, I'm going to have trouble supporting that one. Just some more information for you to look at as you consider this amendment and others.
Representative McCollum, for your first time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like somebody to explain to me how we can have three cities with the population they have getting 1,983,000 in the residents weighted now, 1,283,000 and 1,124,000 by those cities. The last one is considerably smaller than some of the others. I'm just curious as to how this weighting came about.
Representative Brown, for your first time. Mr. Speaker, voting against both this amendment and the next amendment. There's a figure, if you take the average of the sales tax revenues, and there are three cities here that are so pathetically under the average, that just call for some help. Whatever is $13.5 million under the average. Torrington's $3,900,000 under the average. Cranville is $1,100,000 under the average. Those numbers are so compelling that they ask for something. Now, am I asking for $13 million? No. I think this bill, as it was put together by the Speaker, is fair. It's a fair allocation. One of the largest factors in our state that drives sales tax revenue. Number one is mineral activity. Number two is tourism. Number three, way down, is retail activity. So those are where the sales tax is going to be generated from. The sales tax is generated by the state. It's us. We generate that tax, and we control how it's distributed back. And it doesn't necessarily distribute back to the places where it's generated, because there's a recognition that the state as a whole has to be taken care of. We're not asking for my community, we're not asking for $13 million. But the $7 million and something that's in there is a fair recognition. For my city, which is in a county that has virtually no minerals and little or no tourist activity. So I ask that you defeat this amendment, defeat the next one. I thought this bill was carefully thought out. Amendments similar to this have been defeated twice already. They keep coming back. They just won't let me get any rest. It's the third night in a row I would step. And I'd ask that you help me take care of my city and defeat this amendment. Anyone else for their first time, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I believe the merits of the amendment have been debated really quite well, but I would ask, I would actually bring into the mix one more factor. I'm quite sure the last 3 years, this legislature has actually developed a slightly different formula for distribution to cities, towns, and counties than the year before. And what it is as we come in each time, we find that maybe the year before, one of the counties or a section of towns or something may have been slighted. And so over the period of time, we've seen the changing of these distribution formulas. And again, you cannot guarantee what will be in the future.
future, but I suspect next year when you all come back, that there'll be another type of formula to look at. Particularly in those what we call the Section 4 monies. I'd love to be able to sit here and stand, and whichever I'm doing at the moment, I'm not sure. But actually tell you that the 181 is a great boon to my personal district. We all have those desires that when we bring a bill forward, when we bring anything forward that's going to directly benefit the towns and counties which we represent. If people look at that Section 4 distribution, you can go to my district and you'll see a fat lot of zeros across the board. I do bring that, so it wasn't brought in an effort to attempt to benefit my own personal district, but it was an attempt to bring forward to benefit the entire state and work on this set of problems for today. We will have another year to work on the distribution formula again, to work on problems that I identified in the year in between. So I'd ask you to resist this amendment.
Representative Hirschman, you disappeared. Anyone else for the first time? For your second time? All right, we're voting on second. Excuse me, Representative Brown.
For my second time, Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to make the point that we're not riding on anything here. We are levying in our community everything and in our county, everything that we can levy. So we have no, we're at the mercy of this body from there on.
Representative Miller, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your time. You know, this isn't the only way some communities get money. There are communities in this state that receive other state funds for other institutes, other government facilities in their cities. The majority of us in the state don't get those monies for our cities. So maybe distributing on a per capita basis would be a fair way to look at it.
All right, we are voting on third reading amendment number 2. House Bill 181. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Second reading, third reading amendment number 2 has failed. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 181.
Please, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For Tim. Okay, now on to the one we probably should guess. You heard the debate on the last one, and frankly, one of the speakers against the amendment spoke about how the last bill went way beyond what we had done on first and second reading with this bill, that it had taken away the factors out of Section 1, 150% factor, weighting factor, that one of the questions from the fine gentleman from across the county asked, some of the factors are up to 150% on your population. So if you have a population of 10,000, you have a 1.5 factor on it, you would get distribution based on 15,000 people. That is in Section 1 of the bill. This amendment number 3 to House Bill 181 on third reading, is the middle column there. You can compare that to either side, where the bill is now with no amendments, where the bill was if you passed the last amendment. This is the central position. This is the more common position. This is the way the bill passed out of the fine work of our revenue committee. That bill passed out of revenue on a 9-0 vote. So this is a compromise. It passed out of revenue. We, on committee of the whole, the revenue work was taken off the bill. All this does on third reading is put it back in. I ask for your favorable consideration.
For your first time, Representative Buchanan. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, obviously on and against this amendment. My good colleague from District 54 brings this amendment, but really it's the same amendment, exactly the same as we defeated on committee the whole and on second reading. And the minority floor leader had passed out a sheet that talks about mills and optional sales taxes imposed by counties and municipalities. And I would submit to you, if you look at the top 10 sales tax revenue challenge counties, you will see that they impose, most of all of them impose all their 12 bills. They've got the local optional sales taxes. They're doing everything to help themselves. I know that my colleague's home county here has no optional sales taxes and is not using the full complement of 12 mills. And so, you know, these 10 top 10 impacted counties are helping themselves. Again, it's the same formula that we used 2 years ago. And so I would urge you to defeat this amendment because it's the same tired amendment we've seen for the last two readings.
Representative Brown, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Have no doubt about it. This has been touted as a compromise. You know the word compromise, a good definition for the word compromise is be reasonable and do it my way. I urge you to defeat this amendment. Representative Coming.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would accept the vast knowledge of those in the know on this a question I asked on the last amendment. And the reason that these four communities that I talked about are receiving so much money is they are in the poorest areas. They generate the least amount of sales tax and other revenues. So that's why they've got this spike on this. It's part of that spike that was brought the bill was talking about. Now there's another correction I'd like to bring everybody's attention. This is the second time it's happened. I'm from House District 54, Representative Miller is 55. They got a long on the list up here, guys. Please change it. Thank you.
Sorry to slander you, Representative. Representative Walsh, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. All in for the end, all in for the bill. This is a good bill. This is a good bill, and I want to commend the breakers of the bill. This is a good, solid piece of work for our Wyoming cities and towns. This is a great bill. Now, granted, we're all kind of working on it a little bit, but overall, this is a good bill. And even though it reads like a who's who in Albany County, I want you to know that this would appreciate the breakers of the bill. What this amendment does is simply take that column 4 and puts it back over in column 1, and it does not mess with that adjustment factor at all. It's a zero change in dollars for the state. It's a net give or take as far as our state dollars go. It just brings it in, even though it's still figuring in the impact, with the same formula over that column 1, just bringing those dollars over and putting a little bit more hit to those dollars, which brings it in the eyes of when none of us on revenue work through this thing, it brings it probably more in line to a pretty solid compromise. So I honor for the amendment and honor him for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Warburg, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I couldn't agree more with my colleague from District 56. This is a good bill the way it sits right now. With passage of this amendment, this will not be such a good bill. I mean, it's right there in the figures for all of those, for all of you guys to look at. This bill needs to stay the way it is. I ask you to veto the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? For your second time? Representative Tillman? For your second time? Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, a couple of cities on here, the one that is home to our fine four-year Institute of Higher Learning, but they're going to gain $1 million from the last amendment to this amendment. That $1 million is at the rest of the community's cost in this state. Another community on the eastern side of Wyoming that does all their shopping possibly across the border, and maybe that's why their sales tax receipts are low, they're going to gain $400,000 from this, a 40% increase. And finally, the one community up in the Bighorn Basin, they get the least out of those three cities. They only get about a 10% increase. So, again, this is a compromise. This is the way the Revenue Committee passed the bill. I ask you for your favorable consideration.
We are on third reading amendment number 3. We're voting. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 181, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
Aye.
Third reading amendment number 3 has failed. Representative Thorne, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you once again, members of the legislature. We're privileged to have these Thai government students in the gallery today. The south and west balconies, if you would please rise, and thank them for being here.
Thank you, Representative. We are on third reading amendment.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative McComb.
Can I have more to do for?
You may go ahead.
These were passed out during the break. A lot of you don't realize that the inside of here is a personalized library card. But also in the lid is an invitation for tonight. That's for an event the library's putting on. I'm sure a lot of us just ate the candy and threw it away. So I'd like to bring it to your attention.
Thank you, Representative McComb. We are on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 181, Representative Archer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You'll notice the sponsor of this amendment. I have the blessing of the Albany County delegation. I thought that was important in this debate. It's been an interesting debate. As I sit amongst them, it's been fun to watch them twist and turn. And anyhow, they have the day today, and that's good. I appreciate all the good debate. This amendment, simply, I think it gets to the heart of some of what the gentleman from House District 1 was with the First Reading Amendment. Currently in the bill, it says that this impact money in Section 2 can go to those counties in the wording is directly impacted by natural gas development. And, there's folks that live in Brick County, commute beyond county roads in the morning, drive over to the coal mines. There's folks that live in about 9 counties that are commuting, and there's stuff transporting through. There's all kinds of impacts. And I guess I wanted to expand this a little bit and put it in terms of mineral development. We have a lot of development going on, and the mineral is a pretty common word used in our statute. It refers to all the things that we mine and take out of the earth here. And so I think this is a good amendment to this perhaps allow more folks to kind of participate in some of this SLIP granting process in Section 2. And I urge your yes vote on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Lepnow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Speaking on, I guess, against the amendment, a cautionary tone for the amendment. It's kind of a be careful what you wish for thing. And I guess the best way to describe it is to learn from experience. About 20 years ago, this body was asked to put 2 high schools in Campbell County in the city of Gillette, and this body didn't want to form, didn't want to pay for 2 administrations, didn't want to pay for 2 football fields, didn't want to pay for 2 basketball coaches, and so there is 1 high school in Gillette. The same kind of thing will happen here if you open it up so that it's all mineral industry, or all minerals. You're competing against the people who are applying for SLIP grants. And you've got a broader pool competing for fewer funds. And the brilliance of this bill is that it allows the non-impacted communities not to have to compete with the impacted communities for funds. And so there's funds available for both. Because the types of problems that you have in the impacted communities are different and in some ways unimaginable. I don't know of any other person sitting on this floor who has 1,000 permitted houses going into his district. I want you to think about how many people you have in your county jail. Well, there may be one other. I want you to think about the people, how many people are in your county jail right now. And I will tell you that in my county jail, there are 60 people in my county jail, more than my county jail can hold. And so when you're competing with those kind of funds and you open that up for non-impacted communities competing with the impacted communities and you open that pool of competition in there, I think what's going to happen is the funds that you want to be available aren't going to be available. It's much like keeping Campbell County High School one high school. The competition might be just a little tougher than what you want it to be.
Representative Chairman Lockhart, for your first Speaker Pro Tem, I think this is a good amendment because there are other impacts besides natural gas, and I think our good friends from Campbell County have seen it when there's very significant coal developments up there, some of which don't have natural gas in connection with them. Some of them have other impacts. I think those impacts from other mineral developments are very real, and to broaden this, that amount, I think, is a step in the right direction to do what we intend to do, and that's help impacted communities. So I urge your support of the amendment.
Representative Berger, for your first day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask you to defeat this amendment. I am not either impacted or hardship. I'm in between. My community is a service community. We are facing all the problems of both hardship and impacted. I believe that we have made some really good compromises, and that House Bill 181 is terrific, and it does a lot for our cities, towns, and communities. Changing this wording, I think, changes the bill for me. And so I would ask you to defeat it. Thank you.
Representative Langdon, for your first time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The one difference that is very apparent in our county that makes it a vastly different situation, if we say minerals and not natural gas, is the example of coal mines that were brought up in the one. We might even actually have the potential of having a new coal mine in Sheridan County. That wouldn't impact us nearly as much as this coal bed methane activity has, because the coal bed methane activity is spread across the entire eastern half of the county. So we aren't looking at one county road. We're looking at our entire county road grid system out there as being impacted. And so it's a much larger impact on the roads in these natural gas areas than in other mineral areas. We might share some of the same impacts on the services being delivered, but they've come fast and sudden, I must say, in this coal bed natural gas arena.
Anyone else for the first time, Representative Washington? Anyone else for the second time, Representative Washington?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem again. The gentleman from Campbell County, I used the word non-impacted. Nowhere in this amendment am I talking about non-impacted. It refers simply to Section 2, the $110 million I believe now that is in there, and it currently says that for counties that or communities that are directly impacted by natural gas, that you might have service providers, workers, others who are working in the natural gas industry that might happen to live across the county line. It's going on. And I think it's important to broaden that word to say mineral development. And minerals takes in all of natural gas, but I think the direct natural gas, I think, might be a little too lengthy. There are certainly impacts in our northeast part that spread beyond the current county. And I think it's important to kind of recognize that and give the SLIP board the discretion to go ahead and use that when they grant this. So it is certainly impacting. Nowhere did I say in my first, if I did, I certainly didn't intend to. I never said not impacted. And it certainly impacted those impacted by mineral development. And I would encourage the body to adopt this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number 40, House Bill 181. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 4 has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We are at third reading amendment number 5. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. If you look at the amendment, you'll get lost. But Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number 5, the House Bill 181, and you will find a little chart passed around that looks a whole lot like about 12 others that you have. What this does is it affects communities within two counties.
if the technical amendment needed to correct the flaw in identifying the cities and towns that qualify for revenue hardship assistance. This is part of the funding scheme of the 2004 budget, and it currently is included in Section 1 of House Bill 181. The method seeks to identify the cities and towns that comprise the bottom 20% of the incorporated population of the state, as ranked by sales tax per capita received by cities and towns. The flaw is that the historical sales tax data used, as described in what you see, subparagraph A at the bottom of page 2, includes a distribution that is made only to counties. In the first part of the statute, this distribution is something like the legislature established several years ago when I was chairman of the revenue committee. We allocated 1% of the 31% that goes back to the local governments. That is one part out of 31. That goes back to local governments. That is just for counties. Including a small distribution that goes only to counties was enough to alter the sales tax per capita ranking for fiscal year 2005. Without this amendment, the towns in Crook County would be assigned a higher sales tax per capita than those in Albany County. However, the actual sales tax received by the Crook County towns per capita is a little less than those in Albany County. What difference does it make? Well, in the case of House Bill 181, the difference is about $130,000 per year, or $92,000, whichever way you calculate it. If we do not make this correction, the small towns of Crook County could receive that much less than what I believe we really intended to do with the process. The flaw was discovered when the discrepancies for these two counties appeared on some of our spreadsheets. Now that we know about the flaw and the process, we probably should correct it. The distribution of funds for cities and towns should not be influenced by a revenue stream that goes only to counties. This amendment makes that correction, so I invite you to look at the chart. It does affect the communities in two counties. It trims a little bit off of the inverse issues to the communities within Albany County, about $125,000 a year, and it distributes most of it, even though some communities see as much as a dollar change, but it distributes most of it to the communities in Crook County. It makes it a little more equitable. Mr. Speaker, can I stand for questions?
Thank you. Representative Brown, your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill cost my city some money, and so you might anticipate that I'd be up here in opposition. However, the central theme of our efforts on House Bill 181 have been fairness and equity. Fairness and equity demand that we support this amendment. We consider it to be friendly. We consider it to be the right thing to do in order to give all communities the same advantages that we enjoy. So I speak in favor of this amendment. Anyone else for the first time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I apologize to the bringer of this amendment. I just found it just a few minutes before it came up. And in discussions with him, I also commend him for bringing the amendment, being able to find that discrepancy. Again, we're not here to hopefully not create hardships on too many people and not too great of a benefit to too many. This seems like an equitable and fair amendment to bring into 181.
Anyone else for the first time? For the second time, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. As you heard just a few minutes ago, the Speaker addressed this issue and said, you know, each session, and if we're going to continue with this funding scheme towards our local governments, each session, we tweak it a little more, and this is one of these tweaks, and I appreciate your support.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 181. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 5 has passed. Here at third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 181, Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 181, and we'll explain what we're doing. By explanation, number 8, 7, and 8 will be withdrawn because they were dependent upon the two amendments before that did not pass. And then we'll treat them there so we can be set for each one.
But this does represent Chairman Anderson. If you're going to do that, why don't you go ahead and withdraw them? Well, go ahead. We better stick with number 6, I'm sorry.
All right. But what this does, in essence, is change the ratio to counties and cities and towns back to the essentially 60-40 instead of the 66-33 where it is right now. This came to us from, of course, from the county commissioner's organization. We need to remember that this is what was in the regional governor's recommendation. This is what it has been in the past, this ratio. And we would, my appeal is to put it back to essentially the 60-40 ratio so that the counties can get just a little bit more of those dollars. And this is what it does. You want to remember the county jails, many of the county services service all the cities as well as the counties. Look at the county roads, and this is what the amendment does. I encourage your vote on it.
Representative Davidson, for your first step.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to reiterate what Representative Anderson said, that it used to be 60-40, and it's changed to 70-30 based on population. And I think we should all remember that the counties provide a lot of services for the citizens inside the cities and towns as well as the ones out in the country. So I just want to make that point. Thank you.
Representative McCombie, for your first time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. While I agree this is probably a good amendment, I want to bring to this body's attention that the people inside who live inside the city limits pay a county tax. And county revenues that are generated by the mineral industry and other things are for all of the people in the county, not just the people that live outside the city limits. So I always cringe when I hear that brought up that these jails and some of these other things, because the people live inside those city limits pay those same taxes. But I do support the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, part of compromise, part of working it out, it would change the percentage. There's no doubt that's the purpose of the amendment. And, of course, the reverse is true. Should counties get a higher percentage, the cities get less. No, I would point out that I am not in favor of the amendment. Counties are in a slightly different situation as a rule than cities when it comes to the ability to raise money, particularly the property tax. They have a better ability, a larger area to raise a lot of generally more income than the cities do themselves. So I'd recommend, and I've hesitated using this for 3 days, recommend we stay the course.
Representative Walsh, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm voting against the amendment, voting for the bill, very strongly on it for the bill. This is a good bill. I just repeat it again. We have a lot of good discussion here about different amendments, different things we can tweak, but that's the beautiful thing about the way this bill was crafted. It is an easy candidate to work and understand, and we've gone through a lot of amendments, and everybody has got a good grasp of what it's about. But on this one right here, you know, I just think we have to recognize that the roles of the cities and towns are every bit as important as the counties. My goodness, they're all important. We've got to remember that the vast majority of the people actually live in the municipalities, the vast majority. And not just like the counties, I think, because God knows we need those, but the bottom line is everybody that lives in that county is going to go into the town. And they're going to use those roads, and they're going to use those police services. And they're going to use all those things that are so necessary and difficult for cities and towns to plan on a regular basis. This bill gives a lot of stability to the process. This bill has a good formula built into it to help meet those needs. On and against the amendment, on and for the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and I agree that counties and cities are just as important. That would make it 50-50, perhaps. But you do need to recognize that if the standard bill is a bit more money into the counties, less money into the cities, and you better hope that counties certainly, especially some of the poor counties, can certainly use that money to build a road in my house. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 181. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 6 has failed. Chairman Anderson, do you wish to withdraw amendments 7 and 8? Third reading amendment 7 and 8? He's answered in the affirmative that he wishes to withdraw third reading amendments 7 and 8. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 181, having finally received, no, okay, we're voting on the bill. House Bill 181, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holden. Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Magny. Aye. Carter.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Rechtel.
Brown.
Aye. Buchanan.
Aye.
Hulz.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Mr. Majority Farlander.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel. Gay.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Fingering.
Douglas.
Aye.
Hageman. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Mastert.
Aye.
Hinckley.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
Roy.
Aye.
Jackson.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen. Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Ludlow. Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Miley. Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Robinson, Samuelson, Semwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Snyder, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanser, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
House Bill 181, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 181 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 189.
House Bill 189, introduced by Representative Philp, and I invite you to economic development regarding Wyoming Electric Transmission Infrastructure Account, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Seeing no amendments, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Holden. Anderson. Banking. Werner. Berger, Rechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholz, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Dillaway, Galloway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Ludlow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Riley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Musserberger, Mott, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Gilmore, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 189, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 189 has passed the House. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 119.
House Bill 119, introduced by Representative
licenses regarding residency requirements being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Buchholz, there is an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Item 3, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 119, and will withdraw the motion of appropriate time. Residency for David Fish purposes has always been a difficult issue for the David Fish Department and the Commission because of the evident issue of fairness towards citizens. For those citizens who are participating in a voluntary service program that takes them out of the state for an extended period of time or exists under current law, the option to not declare residency for any purpose in the state, territory, or country in which they are providing the voluntary service. This will preserve, for those individuals, their residency status for game and fish purposes. There is great difficulty for the Game and Fish Department to determine with precision whether or not a person is providing voluntary services for religious, charitable, or humanitarian purposes. A member of the Game and Fish Commission has strongly recommended the defeat of this bill until the department can develop a better definition to monitor those who would qualify under the language religious, charitable, or humanitarian volunteer service. By developing a better system of monitoring the above, the residency policy of the Game and Fish Commission can achieve optimum fairness for all the residents of the state.
Mr. Speaker, for your first answer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I speak, obviously, in opposition to the amendment before the bill. The reality of the situation is this. 2.5 years ago, people, whether they be couples, whether they be 60, 50, 19, 18, 30, 20, could leave the state and serve for a religious, charitable, humanitarian purpose, a mission, whatever you may want to call it, for a period of time. Generally, it's a period of excess of at least 18 months, often it's as high as 2 or 3 years. They were able to return to the state, and the Game and Fish would say, you're still a resident. So they were able to buy a resident hunting fishing license. 2 years ago, when we revamped what a resident is, we did what I am confident that I can tell you was an unintended consequence. We put a 180-day time limit that you could be away from the state. Now, while that's very easy mechanically to figure whether you're a resident or not, it does cause problems with those who choose to do missionary humanitarian work and be gone for more than 180 days. Again, this was a practice before 2 years. It was never a question. The reality, I believe, of the situation as it is now, these people return to the state, they find they cannot purchase a license, and if they don't purchase a license, they're not going to pay the out-of-state fee. They're just going to wait a year and regain their residency and then purchase a resident license. So in reality, I believe it's an income loss for the state of Wyoming because these people, I very much doubt, are going to spend the money for a resident license when all they need to do is return to their home and live for a period of a year, to 180 days to a year. I appreciate the argument that there may be some difficulty in defining what a religious, charitable, or humanitarian purpose is. But I would submit to you, members of the House, that if this isn't in the law, the Game and Fish Commission doesn't have the authority to write rules defining it. Because they would not have the law to base upon what their rules would be. So I believe if we wait for them to define what it is before we put it in the law, it's that unending conundrum that it will never be done. So I would ask for your support of the bill. It was changed to help clarify that there was a time limit that couldn't exceed any time period for 4 years. And through the wisdom of this body, you also made it clear that you had to be full-time on such a mission or trek. With that, I'd ask for your support for the bill and against the amendment.
Chairman Childers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, against the amendment before the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, the Game and Fish Department does have a problem with the
residency requirements. What we did, or what the previous Senate committee did 2 years ago, has been presenting some problems, and I'm worried about that. However, if we try an amendment to basically do away with that, with this bill, it was not germane to the bill. In fact, we couldn't do it simply because we went right on with the bill requirements on it. However, the amendment that was presented by me and presented by me addressed the problem that the Cayman Fish had with this bill in addressing the nonprofits and charitable organizations for whatever they go to. In fact, the humanitarian programs that just gone down to help out for Hurricane Katrina. And by passing that, I think we've addressed taking care of that part of the problem. I will be asking Management Council, or actually I will be asking the committee to cover this issue in the next item topic to look again at the residency requirements. But I don't think defeating this bill will help. It'll still create a problem for those people doing exactly what's being proposed in this bill and losing the ability to get their license. So I urge you to defeat the amendment and pass the bill, and I think we'll cover the issue later.
Mr. Minority Leader, anyone else for the first time? Your second time? Representative Buells.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I fail to understand what the confusion is on the part of the department, because it appears to me that the statute is not that clear on the point of residency. It would allow the individuals considered in this bill to escape the need to lose their residency privileges for hunting and fishing purposes. 23.1, Article 1, Section 7, Subsection B, that announces a person shall lose his residency in Wyoming if he resides in any other state, territory, or country for an aggregate of 180 days or more in a calendar year, unless he qualifies as a resident under subsection B, C, or F of the section. But if you look at subsection C, which is referenced in subsection B, it says a person other than a buyer or tenant qualified under this section shall lose his residency in Wyoming if he moves to another state, territory, or country, and makes it his domicile or makes any claim of residency for any purpose to that state, territory, or country. In other words, if the claim is not made in those venues to achieve residency status in some alien venue, they are able to retain residency in Wyoming. I won't belabor it. We have a lot of important things to do, and I withdraw the comment at this time.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 119. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed? Oh, I withdrew it. Okay. Then the chief clerk will call the roll on House Bill 119. I wonder why no one was voting.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barter. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards, Esquivel, Kay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Hastert, Hinckley, Michael, Gilloway, Jackson, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lucknow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Power. Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Snyder, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Olson, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 noes.
House Bill 119, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 119 is passed the House.
Representative Hastert.
Mr. Speaker, privilege on the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 58th behind us up in the gallery are a couple of constituents all the way from Sweetwater County came out here to see how we're doing. Matt Callahan and Monty Moorbach, welcome to the House.
Members of the House, I'm going to take a few minutes to read more Senate files in so that they'll be able to get into our committee process, and then the majority floor will outline the schedule for the rest of the day. First of all, for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, introduced by Senator Coe.
First reading of
Resolution 2020, Constitution related to the recapture of excess revenues from the Sequoia Public Schools.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 4.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, introduced by the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
The Joint Resolution proposing to amend the Army Constitution to authorize the establishment of endowment trust funds for higher education and authorizing the investment use of funds from such funds.
Senate Joint Resolution is introduced, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 3.
Senate Bill 3, introduced by the Select Democrat Corp.
First reading of the bill.
Related to professional math services advanced practice register nurses and psychiatry.
Senate Bill 3 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 92.
Senate Bill 92, introduced by Senator Wells.
First reading of the bill.
Related to direct expenses for state officers.
Senate Bill 92 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 16.
Senate Bill
106.
106, introduced by Senator Hunter.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 106 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 110.
Senate Bill 110, introduced by Senator Hunter.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 10 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 38.
Senate Bill 38, introduced by the Democrat.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 38 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 62.
Senate Bill 62, introduced by the Capital Finance Committee.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 62 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 64.
Senate Bill 64, introduced by Senator Nicholas.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 64 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 72.
Senate Bill 72, introduced by Senator Rice.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 72 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 77.
Senate Bill 77, introduced by Senator Sessions.
First reading of the bill.
Certified public accountants.
Senate Bill 77 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 80.
Senate Bill 80, introduced by Senator DeKalb.
First reading of the bill. Senate Bill 88 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 90.
before. So, first reading of the bill. Senate Bill 94 is introduced, referring to committee number 5, Agriculture. Next bill for consideration is Senate Bill 101. First reading of the bill. Senate File 101 is introduced, referring to committee number 4, Education. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 104. First reading of the bill. Senate File 104 is introduced, referring to committee number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 105. First reading of the bill. Senate File 105 is introduced, referring to committee number 1, Judiciary. Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole to consider pulling up the budget bill, House Bill 1.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Motion carries. This was to dip. Yes, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just a little word about what we intend to do, or hopefully be able to do, is to get the budget, the first reading of the budget finished by somewhere around maybe an hour, hour and a half. If we do finish before 5 o'clock, we will move into some Senate file readings. Other than that, we do intend to stop at somewhere around 5 o'clock. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are now in the Committee of the Whole to consider first reading of the budget bill. Representative Hammonds.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. We are continuing with consideration of the Budget Bill, House Bill 1. Representative Phil, what is your pleasure?
Madam Chairman, could I ask for a point of order to start out with here?
Yes, you may, Mr. Chairman.
I think this little sign that was left up here down the corner says, yes, it says, Mr. Bridge. Section 23, Public Service Commission, and I want to explain that budget. And the Public Service Commission, they had a few small items that dealt with IT, GIS, electronic records, replacement servers, computer maintenance, computer software, those kind of things. The biggest thing was a decrease in their budget allocation for the Universal Service Fund, and that was a decrease of $16,957,000. If there are no questions, I'll call for a question on Public Service Commission.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. All in favor for Section 023, please indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Madam Chairman,
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. About a gentleman in the back up a little bit here. Probably need to go to section 22. Respiratory Care Practitioners Board. And they have made a small exception request. Or increased administrative services. I'll call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Section 022 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Chairman.
Madam Chairman. Why, Section 24 of the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me that we're going to go at a rapid pace. I had quite a bit I wanted to say, but I'm going to hold up two brochures with State Parks and Cultural Resources. If you've not received them, they are great handouts that show the activity that's taken place over the last year and their future needs. A couple of things that I would like to discuss with you. First off, State Parks is on page 23. And their total budget is $46,471,288. That is $1 million in increase over the last biennium. They currently employ 274 individuals, 93 being part-time. They have no growth in employment. One of the biggest pieces of news probably in our JAC was the approval of the governor's letter number 2 for an exception, which was adding $5 million to the cultural trust. Cultural Resources Endowment Program, which was started 15 years ago by the infamous Clarine Law. And we, I think we sat over 10 years before we were putting money into it. So this is an exciting trust that is to help new organizations. We also added money to folk art, to the Veterans Museum, to the Arts Council. And I think it's important for us to just to spend a minute on our state parks. You know, we serve over 3 million customers a year, and 56% of those visitors are non-resident. Last 2005, we had a Senate File 36, which paid $7 million to renovation and improvements of our state parks, which they completed 23 projects, which hit most of your communities. They are still in need of additional fundings, and we will discuss that in our capital construction area. And if there are any questions, I stand for them.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 024 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I'm in Section 025, Department of Employment, representing Wiley, who will give the explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Department of Employment budget. They have, let me just give you a little general information. Their budget is $69,300,278. If you'll notice, almost all of that is non-general fund. There's only about $3,000 of the general fund in their budget. They have 330 full-time positions and 6 AWACs. They're made up of the following divisions: administration and support, division of labor standards, worker safety and compensation division, unemployment tax division, unemployment insurance division, and the state inspector of mines. Let me just go through the, this is on page 24 of the budget and on page 8 of your cheat sheet, if you want to pull that out. Let me just go over the exceptions. The Joint Corporations Committee approved an exception budget of $2,671,672, and includes for four new positions. And those include two nurses to do pre-review and two OSHA consultation positions. The reason why they needed these additional positions is because of the increased workload that they have, and because of the turnaround time they have, that they're supposed to make an initial determination within 15 days. So those were the four new positions. They had one additional position that they requested, and that was for the State Inspector of Mines. And again, that is due to the workload that they have and the distance that they have to travel. So there was one additional person added in that particular department. As far as the what the JEC did, one of the things we did put a footnote on their budget is $518,000 of the appropriation they had was to be effective immediately, and this was to rewrite the Wyoming Integrated Next Generation System, which will help them in doing their work. And the feeling was it was better for them to get started on that right away rather than waiting until the next fiscal year. One other thing we did, we transferred $125,000 from the Transportation Department to the Employment to this department, because they're the ones that advertise and publish these figures. This has to do with the stating what the statewide figures are as far as the different employment that they have. They also reclassified line positions from part-time employees to full-time employees. And I think that's the main part of their budget. So at this time, I would ask for your approval of that budget in the footnote. Are there any questions?
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 025 is passed committee of the whole.
Madam Chairman.
Chairman Phil.
I move Section 126, Department of Workforce Services. And there's any more? Well, explain the budget.
Madam Chairman, Representative Warren, the House or the Department of Workforce Services was developed about 6 years ago. One of the purposes is to bring together agencies to help people get to work. And it is consisting of three areas: Employment Services Division, the Business Training and Outreach Division, and the Vocational Rehab Division. And those are the three primary areas. The biggest changes this year in this department were, one, they transferred the APE and the GED to the Kennedy College Commission. A couple of facts about this department that were interesting is about 10% of the workers in Wyoming are underemployed. And within a few years, we're going to be the third oldest state or most aging state in the United States. And there are about 38,000 jobs that are to be created in the next 6 years. And so work is a big issue in Wyoming. There were no substantial changes that JAC made to the request from the Department of Workforce Services. And just briefly, I'll share with you what the primary requests were. The department will have a workforce communication and awareness campaign for $400,000, and that's to try to get out the idea that we need people to come to Wyoming to work. There's going to be a Wyoming workforce analysis for future investment, and it's around $200,000, and that's to really look at what do we need in this state, what kind of jobs are we anticipating, and what do we need to do to fill those jobs. There was a little over $3 million for the Employment Services Division, and that was a replacement for lost federal funds, something that you'll see throughout all of our budgets. The Workforce Development Training Fund, there was a request for $6 million. The governor suggested $4 million, and JSC supported that request. And the Business Training and Outreach Division support, there is about $280,000 there, and that's to fund the division administration expenses and $5,000 for the marketing of the senior program. The apprenticeship program funding was approved for $172,000, and that's to continue to develop apprenticeship opportunities in the state of Wyoming. And the last request was that the vocational rehabilitation program in Kimmerer was to be expanded because they had increased needs for services in that particular area of the state. So I will answer any questions if there are. Representative Elway.
Well, I have an amendment, but it has been talked about today.
Representative Elway, you may proceed with the amendment.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, I move our committee of the whole amendment number 11 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing here, the governor did recommend $4 million for workforce services for the training fund. We ran out of money. They ran out of money last year. And they had to stop. Let me see if I can find that. The pre-obligation grants designed to assist companies considering relocating to Wyoming or expanding an existing Wyoming business was last closed in October 2005 in order to ensure adequate funds for the other two grant programs that would be there through the 2005-2006 biennium. The fund closed prematurely last year just due to lack of adequate funding, and that severely hindered recruitment efforts. In fiscal year 2005, there were 719 business training grants, which assisted 245 businesses training 3,018 individuals. Three top occupations of trainees were in management, healthcare practitioners, and installation, maintenance, and repair. The Workforce Training and Retaining Fund is essential to ensure the competitiveness of Wyoming businesses in a global economy. It's been a very powerful economic development tool to assist new and existing businesses in Wyoming. And with a shortage of skilled and trained workforce in Wyoming, the fund needs to be increased to ensure our employers have a qualified pool of employees. In my last endeavor before the legislature, I can tell you this fund was extensively used. It has been used, and you do have a handout sheet that did show where some of the funds went. I would request that we go ahead and appropriate another $2 million. This money, if I'm correct, if it's not used, would revert. Therefore, we're not wasting the money if it's not used. It reverts back to the general fund. But if we don't have it in the budget, we can't use it. We can't use it for recruitment. We can't use it for the training funds. We can't use it for pre-obligation, and that's why we need it.
Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, there were many agencies that requested this in their budget, and the governor denied it. But the governor's recommendation, which we approved for this program, was $4 million. Of that $4 million, $3 million is for training grants. So I'd urge you to hold on the governor's recommendation on this one. And I would also ask you once again to hold with it and try to keep the water further underwater. Right now, it's about $460-some million underwater, and if we pass all of these amendments, it's eventually going to come out of savings. that's where it all flows back to. And so you can decide if we want to do savings or not. To me, savings is very important. I think we need to have a good amount of money in. I'd like to put a good amount of money into Burton Mineral Trust Fund, and also I think it's essential that we have an adequate amount of money in the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. So I'd ask you to vote no on this.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Madam Chairman, I would ask you to vote aye on this. Yes, savings are important, but I think investments in the people of the state are also important, at least as equally important. There are some incentives that we do to attract and keep businesses here that work, and there are some that don't work. This is one that I really think does work. It works in two ways. One, it helps employers because they know with some certainty that they're going to have a qualified workforce to be able to fill the jobs that they have. And it helps the people of this state because it increases the training that they will get, makes them more marketable, gives them better skills, and will increase eventually their own income. That in turn is going to mean that when you start improving the income levels of some of these people, they're not going to need the public assistance that we require because the low wages in this state. It's a really roundabout way of getting someplace, but this does help. It's an investment in the people of the state. It's an investment for the state. I urge your support.
Is there further discussion? There being none, the question is... Yes, Chairman Fell.
Well, I'd like to address this one more time. The governor denied this request. He denied a request of $2.1 million, which was slightly larger. There's still $3 million in the budget for training grants.
Further discussion? There being none, the question being called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion fails. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I'm on Section 127, School Facilities Commission.
Question is being called on the section. All those in favor of Section 026, Department of Workforce Services, indicate by saying aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 026 is passed Committee of the Whole. Yes, Representative Pacomi.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I'd just like to point out that by my count, off of the next sheet number 4, we have now approved 193 new positions.
Representative Jones. Chairman Hill.
Madam Chairman, I have 026, Section 026, Department of Workforce Services. Representative Jones, what is my name?
026.
Section 027, School Facilities Commission.
Madam Chair.
Representative Jones.
Thank you. Agency 027, School Facilities Commission, in their budget, it is this proposal that we have presented to you adds 4 new positions and converts 2 time-limited positions to full-time. The 2 conversions include 1 person to assist the school district with their 5-year plans, and the other provides staff support in the office. The 4 new positions provide another person to work with the 5-year plans, and a person is needed to continue the development and maintenance of the agency database consisting of information on school buildings statewide. 2 new field inspectors will be funded that will perform periodic and routine visits to school construction projects. They will also perform building assessments in-house that previously have been done through outside contractors. Also, an architect consultant will be added to the staff. $625,000 is recommended to support contracting the specialist to study and plan educational and capacity needs as it relates to the buildings that we'll be building in the state. There is also additional money for employee professional development and the replacement of computers. Total for this on the operations budget is $7,350,000. The budget for emergency contingencies remains at $1 million to provide monies that may be needed on an emergency basis in case of an occurrence in a school district, such as a fire or mold in a building, rendering it unusable and the need of immediate repairs or replacement. The amount requested and appropriated for major maintenance remains the same at $68,200,000. This is based on the formula based on square footage of buildings in each school district. These three divisions of the agency have a total recommended budget of $76,550,256, a total of 17 positions. Later on in the budget, we will get into the capital construction, and that's really where the big money is with the School Facilities Commission, but this is all in the agency and the operations. Stand for any questions if there are any. Otherwise, I'll turn it back to the chair.
Call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 027, School Facilities Commission is past committee of the whole.
Madam Chair, I have Section 028, Board of Registration and Podiatry. And that budget has us $2,000 exception request for travel. It's all special revenue, $22,960. I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Section 028 is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 029, Water and Water Development Office. And that is Representative Peterson.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fellow representatives, I present to you a budget on the Wyoming Water Development Office. I serve on the Select Water Committee and first work with these very close for the past 4 years. The budget request of this particular agency is $7,194,451. It's found on page 9 of our large horizontal sheet. Contained within that budget request is a desire by the Development Office to increase it with two engineers and one other individual is a full-time conservation officer. The reason for the conservation officer funding is it was federally funded. Now it has to be state funded because the federal funding has failed. The engineers, we've had a 43% increase in construction water projects, small water projects, and others that go into the construction account, as well as in account number one with the studies is going forward. So the load on the engineers has become burdensome and it's slowing us down to make things happen for the water resources of the state. If you look at our horizontal sheet, JAC actions approved with no further action on the agency request. So therefore, you'll find on page 26 of our budget bill, the $7,194,451 out of the special revenue account, which is water development one. So that's where we stand with this particular agency, and I stand ready for any questions. If there are none, I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 029, Wyoming Water Development Office is passed committee of the whole. Chairman Phil.
Chairman, I move Section 030, Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Okay.
exception request, which is just a fund shift. And, Madam Chairman, the total budget's $98,000. Madam Chairman, I call for a question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 030, Board of Chiropractic Examiners, has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 031, Collection Agency Board. I will explain it if I can find the right.
Representative Warren. Madam Chairman, just to get everybody updated, we are up on page 9 of the long cheat sheet and page 27 of the budget bill, just to get you all oriented on this. The Collection Agency Board is under the Division of Banking, which staffs it, and it licenses and regulates collection agencies across the state. There are 276 collection agencies, and they continue to increase. This is self-funded, and the request that they made was to cover court salary increases and some travel costs. It was for a little more than $19,000. There being no further discussion, the question being called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 031, Collection Agency Board, is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phillips.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 033, Board of Cosmetology. And Madam Chairman, there are no exception requests. Total funds $432,381, all special revenue.
Thank you. The question being called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 033, Board of Cosmetology, has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 034, Board of Dental Examiners. When we bring it in our teeth into it. Their budget is, the exception request is a fund shift, and the total budget is $329,460 all on special revenue. Call for the question.
Question being called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 034, Board of Dental Examiners, is passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 034, Board of Dental Examiners.
Oh, 035.
Well, I move 035, Section 035, Board of Enrollers. There's no exemption request, $5,193, no special revenue. I call for the question.
The question being called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 035 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 037, State Engineer. And I will explain that budget. One of the two biggest exception items are they total $2,760,000. They all deal with technology. They're working on a modified automated workflow. They're trying to speed the processing of applications and petitions. maybe we're trying also to allow your permitting and everything that works out. And also, this technology will give them improved database tools for the employees and also for the constituents. And all of those have been reviewed by the CIO. And incidentally, all of these IT requests are added to the CIO if they're over about, I think it's about $5,000. They got two full-time personnel, one in the groundwater division for permit compliance, and the second one is a coordinator for work on the Colorado River. There's number of positions being converted to full-time from part-time. And I've got a government IT specialist to work on all that natural gas stuff. And they work on a number of issues in water throughout the state on all of our basins. They want a coordinator position for the Colorado River, as I already talked about that. They also have a compact, and it's also been the subject of debate. And then in Montana has requested a coil on the powder in the Tongue River. And that was denied by Wyoming, but they want $200,000 to study the issues in those basins. And they have another of other small items that total up to about $593,000. For smaller initiatives, radios for Wyoming, and payment for overtime is in that. Their total exemption budget was $5,493,000. And, let's stand for questions.
The question has been called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 037, State Engineer, has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Hill.
Well, Madam Chairman, I move Section 038, our Mutual Commission. Special revenue $978,000. No exception requests. I call for the question.
The question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Section 038, Paramutual Commission, is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, let's move Section 039, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. It looks like Representative Jorgensen is going to present that.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This item is, I think, the easiest way to follow is on page 11 of the long spreadsheet. And that's supplemented by page 30 of the budget document. And let's go to the long spreadsheet. You can see this started out the program with a request. The governor's recommendation, excuse me, is $35,600,000. The JAC action was to remove of that $35,633,500. And that was the sense of the committee was that this was a new trust fund and we should have an opportunity to look at the projects and the way they were approaching the issues. The net, as it appears in your budget, includes, in addition to the differences left in the trust fund, $1,002,000 operating budget with a balance of $3,003,000. Authorized employees to no additional employees.
Thank you, Representative Jorgensen. There's an amendment. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring to you Committee of Amendment Number 19, and what I hope will be a precedent-setting move. I brought this amendment largely so people could look at it, get comfortable with it, and we're going to discuss it on second reading. I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Is there further discussion with regard to Section 039? There being none, the question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 039, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust, is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 040, Representative Barker will present the budget.
Representative Barker. Thank you, Madam Chairman. With the Game and Fish budget, which is on page 40 of your House Bill 1, we made no changes to the Governor's REC. I will suggest to you that we will be discussing capital construction later on, where we will look at the lack of trout production, Lyme disease, the regional office in Pinedale, and new comfort stations. The two areas that I think we should put some emphasis on today in the budget are the vet services, dealing with brucellosis and chronic waste disease, which is very pressing for the agency. And just to remind the body, the primary functions are to maintain and improve wildlife health by maintaining, monitoring, diagnosing, and reporting on diseases, and implementing disease control measures to become brucellosis-free status. There's four components to that, and the dollars are for test and slaughter program, which is about $184,000, replace federal funds, which is to the tune of $636,000, and if we are awarded any federal funds, then our state dollars would revert back to the general fund. Equipment for this project is about $95,000. And program activities, which is at about $124,000. We also have some increased demands, as we've spoken earlier, on utilities, housing, and in particular in Teton County. So we made some adjustments there. The other important program that is in process with the SAGE is sage and grouse planning and protection. And it's important to remember that in 2005, we started a program with the Game and Fish where we had a landowner grants, and it was $150,000. It generated 48 grant requests totaling $970,000. And what was interesting was the participation from both the private and public sector, and the private funds generated for $2 million. And I think this has been a tremendous program with Game and Fish. It's very necessary for us to reduce the potential for any listing of the sage grouse. So that is the Game and Fish budget. I can tell you that they are just facing tremendous demands today. They're supposed to be monitoring and taking care of about 700 plus species, and there's about 200 of those that are very sensitive. And with the reduction in Game and Fish license revenue, it's becoming a very big challenge for Game and Fish. And I will stand for question. The chair recognizes Chairman Childers.
Madam Chair, I do have a question for the good representative from District 51. And her last sentence pretty well summed it up. Last year, during the end of the session, there was a request by the chair of the committee to do an interim study on alternative funding for Game and Fish. And I do know that that was reassigned to the Appropriations Committee. And I guess, just to make clear and make sure that the TRW committee in here understands that, basically you've covered capital construction for the Game and Fish Department. You didn't really discuss during the interim the continuous funding for Game and Fish. Is that correct?
Representative Berger, thank you, Madam Chairman. That is correct. We did not address it. There was a discussion. But how I remember it is, it was just to continue that discussion, and I'm assuming it's going to continue into this next interim. It seems to me that it was a very big
issue. And I think that, I really feel like that was the direction we were given also from the department. But it's pressing. According to the director, Cleveland, it is something we really do need to look at.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Childers. Any additional questions? There being none, the question being called. Yes.
One thing I might add is by doing this capital construction for Demon Fish, it frees up money they can use again in other areas. And they do have ongoing funding as we move ahead. And there's about $242,000 also on top of the capital construction that rolled ahead. We got about $20 million worth of capital construction that you'll see later on in the budget for the gaming station. Matt, your brother, correct that. It's about $16 million in capital. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairman Phil. There being no further discussion, the question being called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 040, Game and Fish Commission, is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Now, Chairman, under Section 041, Fire Prevention. Representative Peterson.
Thank you. Mr. Majoryman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fellow representatives, Section 041 on page 11, our horizontal cheat sheet is where you will find the fire prevention electrical safety people who play a vital role in the construction endeavors of the state of Wyoming through plan checks as well as safety inspections that we have on a recurring basis. They submitted the requested budget of $5,519,235 out of the general fund. There is one other component part of their budget that they have also adds to this, and that is found in their fees that they collect, and that totals $476,954. Add those two components together, gives a total budget for this agency of $5,996,189. The JAC looked at this, heard the testimony of this respective agency, took no action to diminish or increase this particular budget. So on page 31 of our budget bill number 1, you'll find the budget of $5,996,189, which consists of general fund appropriation as well as fees collected from this agency. If there are no questions, I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 041, Fire Prevention, is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 042 and Representative Berger will describe the budget.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Wyoming Geological Survey will be found on page 32. And the exception that we added to the budget was $39,185 for software. And this is dealing with a new focus that the survey is taking on seismology for new geophysical locations. And as you know, with our oil and gas developments, the increases that we are in demand for new locations, this agency has really become important, and if you remember in the last session, we had increased the number of employees. I believe that this agency is just doing a terrific job. They do have a large manual showing all the new innovative procedures that they're doing that I do think enhances services to industry today and also increases revenues to our state coffers. We do have over $500,000 equipment. Basically, it deals with oil and gas fields discovery initiative, and that's the seismic equipment, along with two positions that are NOBAC, and also software, which is at about $164,000, and all the other expenditures that total up to the $569,000 complement this effort. I think that, let me just see here. be an important factor that I read in the materials. And I can't even comprehend this, but that Wyoming is leading in the domestic exportation of energy, 8 quadrillion BTUs. And so I think that is a phenomenal number, and that is so important for this agency to be able to assist in this development of energy. We also have the same difficulties in our agency for staff recruitment. And another area that's important is that the governor recommended $750,000 for the clean coal effort, which is to be competitive in the responsible value-added development of coal reserves. And I think it's to just remind the body, this allows Wyoming to develop policy and processes so that they can compete with federal projects. And you all remember the Energy Policy Act of 2005, and this is so that we can have an opportunity to compete for this facility. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Questions being called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 042, Geological Survey, has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 044, Representative Jones. Describe the motion.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Agency 044 can be found on page 32 of the budget bill and page 12 of your help number one. The administration division is totally funded with special revenues. There will be two new positions added in the administrative part of it. There is a $50,000 increase in the budget for consulting fees incurred by the agency. Also, there are going to be buying 18 new computers at the cost of $41,800 in this biennium, bringing the total for administration to $4,473,000 and 27 positions. Special revenue will also fund the agency licensing board. That budget remains the same at $15,773. The largest part of the insurance department is made up and paid for with enterprise funds. The health insurance pool is intended to provide health insurance to those not otherwise able to obtain health insurance. The pool is funded by revenue generated from premium payments made by participants in the pool, and if insufficient, balancing reserves are collected in the form of assessments levied against health insurers operating in the state of Maryland. If insurers are assessed, they receive tax credits against their premium taxes. The total revenue anticipated for the funding of this pool for the upcoming biennium is $23,362,000. That brings the total budget for the insurance department to $27,850,713.
Are there any questions for Representative Jones? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Section 044, Insurance Department, is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 045, Department of Transportation, and turn it over to Representative Jorgensen.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I believe the easiest way to address this is to go to page 12 of your long spreadsheet for page 33 of the budget document. Going to page 12 of the spreadsheet, section 045, Department of Transportation, the first group of columns from the governor's recommendations, which, as you've heard and as you know, are based on the agency's recommendations, with his modifications after the discussion with the bill column or the actions of your appropriations committee. There are only two actions reflected here. One is in law enforcement, and as noted in the footnote, that represents or reflects the reduction of the 15 trooper request to 7 troopers. The second change by the appropriations committee was in general fund appropriation to the commission for additional facility work.
that's explained in the footnote in some multi-lane highways item, and I would ask you to just mentally consider that as a highway item rather than a specific designation, because it all goes to wherever they decide is most important. And the that amount to a reduction of $29,964,000, reducing it to the $75 million number for that additional amount. And as you all have heard, according to your discussions about that as we continue on this budget, we'll arrive at a number, I'm sure. So the bottom line was $287,762,636, and I recommend adoption of this section.
There are two amendments for this bill. Representative McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Was there any discussion? Was there any discussion in the Appropriations Committee when this budget was presented about funding those troopers that provide security at the Capitol and for the governor out of the general fund instead of out of highway funds that are generated with gas tax?
Representative Jorgensen.
Representative, not to my recollection.
Are there additional questions? The chair was mistaken. There aren't any amendments. Is there further discussion with regard to section 045? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Section 045, Department of Transportation, is passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, I move section 048, Department of Health.
Representative Neely.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, of the 15th legislature, let me just give you a little idea of this budget. This is what this budget for this particular department looks like. And there are a few items in here that may be a little difficult to cover all of this in the time that we have. Let me just start by pointing out some of the obvious facts with this. First of all, this budget is $1,291,255,205. For the next page, the Department of Health has 1,520 employees, and about 1,100 of these employees provide direct care. This budget of the almost $1.3 billion that I'm talking to you about, it's an increase of about $39 million over last year. To follow along with this, if you look at your Phelps 1, the cheat sheet, it's on page 13, and the budget items are on page 34, 35, 36, and 37. I would like to say the Department of Health is trying to get a handle on this budget, and a fair amount of that increase that you see there has to do with programs that the legislature has asked the Department of Health to add. As noted, they request an additional 26 individuals, and they also requested a deletion of two positions, which happen to be in the telehealth area, because the federal funds of about $3 million were withdrawn, so those funds are gone, and the Department of Health did not ask to replace those funds. In this budget, there is a request for $42,725,174 to be available immediately. And the reason for that is because there is a shortfall in the Medicaid budget, which we have to make up this particular year. In the Medicaid program, one of the things that has happened is the federal component of the
10%. So what that means is, with that approximately 4% drop, the state has to make up that difference with general fund money. And so that is the reason about the $42 million that they talked about that they want right away. This drop in the federal funding means that we had to make up an additional $28,199,000 just to make up that difference. That did not add any new people in the program, and that did not change any of the items that are on the program. They also estimate that Part D, the Medicare Part D, for the dual eligibles, those are people who are eligible for both Medicaid and Medicare, that that's going to cost the general fund another about $7.5 million. The Department of Health, again, like I said, is trying to get a handle on this, and they do. They have put into place some cost containment programs, which I think will be beneficial. One has to do with the health management with chronic diseases to help those people go through the medical health care system easily and efficiently. And the other is, one of the other ones is a prescription drug cost containment, which has to do with using generic drugs and also helping families determine what drugs they should be on. In the Department of Health, there are five divisions. Community and Family Health Division, Preventive Health and Safety, Mental Health Division, Development Disabilities Division, Aging Division, just to give you some idea. Let's just, let me just go to the cheat sheet to begin with. As you recall, as you look through this, there hasn't been, we have not changed a lot of things and, from what the governor's recommendations were and what they had from last year. As you recall, we've already talked about the fact that we've put $60 million in the auditor's office for the Department of Health because there were some concerns about whether there was enough money in the Department of Health to cover all of the all of their expenses and additional $5 million for pandemic flu evaluation. In case we need to do that, that money would be available if it becomes a problem here in Wyoming. Of that $60 million that's set aside, about $21 million of that is set aside for what's the so-called clawback situation where we have dual eligibles between Medicaid and Medicare. And this must be cost neutral to the federal government, and to do that, the state of Wyoming has to come up with about $21 million of general fund money. In this budget, just I'd like to just draw your attention to some of the footnotes. Number one, the Joint Appropriations Committee added $235,000 from general fund money to pay for part-time public health hygienist. So that was an additional money that we put into the their budget. We did switch some funding sources around from general fund to tobacco and trust money for the tobacco cessation program. We also added, be aware of this, in addition to $264,000 general fund and $294,000 federal funds. So we posted the money list on the assisted living, so we've turned additional $21 million slots into the assisted living program. We already talked about some of the funds that we've had to put in to cover the decrease in federal funds. By the way that the federal funding percentage is calculated is based on the average income of the people in the state. So it's based on the average income, and as our income in the state of Wyoming has gone up, the federal funding has decreased.
is specifically one thing that a couple things that we did do. The Joint Appropriations Committee did deny the recognition of $1,050,000 to fund eight third courts. That was denied. And we also reduced the government recognition to 2.6 million in the bank of trust funds for credit card expansion. That was reduced down to 1.2 million. There also, the JEC did add in this 5,933,516. And corresponding 6.6 million of federal funds for the adult DD waiver. And that is to give those individuals that are dealing with the DD population a 7% salary increase. And that's to their community-based direct care. So we did put a lot of additional money into the DD, the adult DD program. And also put in a footnote that those funds restricting those funds so that they could not be transferred out of that that program. And there's about $6 million in that program, which now cannot be transferred. Those covers both the footnotes there on that page. And let's go back to the budget bill. And for a second, this is on the page 35, 36, and so forth. There are several written footnotes, and I'd just like to call your attention to a few of these. The first footnote, we had the general fund appropriation, we put $250,000 to be expended to provide contractual technical assistance to the Waterman communities, and this is to help them to determine whether they have adequate or appropriate health care in their communities. As we noted, we added the $225,000 for the public health hygienist, which appropriations committee, the third footnote, and it has to do with the shortfall that I mentioned that we're short for this fiscal year for the Medicaid program. The fourth footnote has to do about not being able to transfer the funds out of the DD program so that those would stay in there to assist those deaf clients and to reduce it, any waiting list that they might have. I don't know about the 7% salary increase for individuals working with the DD population in the community-based programs. We're asking for a report to look at the whole Medicaid programs and to see also how many individuals are going out of state for the Medicaid care and to look at ways that we might be able to more efficiently structure that program to save some money. So that was one care for Medicaid, and the other has to do with the out-of-state Medicaid payments. And then the number 8 footnote is a recurring footnote regarding the Waterman State Hospital, because as you know, they are paying back, part of their money needs to be paid back the loans that they have on the hospital for facility improvements that they did out there. And there is also an amendment for the state driving school for $75,625 to help them with their information technology equipment. And I think that I've gone through the footnotes and I tried to go through the amendments as far as their personnel concerned. They have, like I said, additional 24 personnel. And if you look up the folks first, you can guess where those are. Most of those personnel are in
this is a fairly complex. Let's just stop right there.
Thank you, Representative Mealy. We appreciate your explanation. Chairman Osborne.
Representative Bradley, can you tell me what the rationale was on cutting the drug court funding?
The question was about cutting the drug courts. Mr. Chairman, as I recall, when we were going through those, there was some double counts on that, and they reduced the double counts so that the drug court numbers would be accurate with what was actually being expended. And I believe that Drannick could ask the chairman to be sure, but I believe it was a double count, and we cut out part of that double count.
Madam Chairman, back here.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you. At the time we took that money out, we believed that there was a double count. It became apparent that we did need that $1.2 million in there to simply maintain the drug courts that we currently have. And that money is in House Bill 91, where we added $1.2 million in there. So I mean, it's either here or House Bill 91, but it's in there for the current drug courts.
Representative Miley.
Yeah. Just to remind people, House Bill 91, which is not in this list, has an additional $38,287,127 in that bill for mental health, which will go into the Department of Health.
At this point, Representative Miley, would you like to introduce your amendment number 21?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, I would move first reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 01. What this amendment does, ladies and gentlemen, is it continues an agreement that we had with the health care providers, the physicians in the state, that we would continue to do gradual increments in their reimbursement for Medicaid patients from the Medicaid program. I don't know if those of you have been here for a while, you remember there was no increase in reimbursements for 10 years, and then we had this huge jump in what we were paying to physicians. And again, that was to assure us that physicians would continue to see Medicaid patients. So this was an agreement that we were going to do, and it's based on the resource-based relative value scale, which is a percent of Medicare. And I just want to be sure that we got this into the budget. There's no increase in funding. This is just to remind the Department of Health that they agreed to do this. I've talked with the people in the Department of Health. They feel they have the money within their budget to do this. So I just want to ask for your support of this so that they will continue to do what they agreed to do. Thank you.
Are there any questions for the bringer of this amendment? There being none, the question being called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. There's a second amendment to come before us. Amendment number 28 being brought by Chairman Osborne. Chairman Osborne. Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sorry. Thank you. I move Amendment number 28 to the first reading of House Bill 1. And what this does is it's a budget footnote on it that removes a cap that we currently have on drug court funding. Currently, regardless of the size of the drug courts, there's a $200,000 allocation for the larger drug courts are running into the situation where they can't handle all the clients they have the capacity for. So this is not an effect on the budget. It just allows that drug court
Representative
Simpson. I support the amendment. There's certainly larger courts out there that, because of the $200,000 cap and the size of the courts, use up their appropriation very quickly. And there are other courts that are smaller courts around the state that never do hit the $200,000 mark. This gives the drug court review board the authority to shift dollars around within their budget.
Is there further discussion with regard to Amendment 28? Question being? Yes. Chairman Phil?
I'm just wondering, is that a result in the drug courts continually coming back to the state for increases?
Chairman Osborne?
Yes. Well, it could. Are we right now in a situation where we have the big courts that could do more than they're doing and the little courts that can't generate enough business to come anywhere near this number? So if you just take the current amount of money and spread it appropriately across the sizes of the drug courts, then I think we're going to be covered already.
Are there additional questions, Chairman Hill?
Madam Chairman, do the counties pick up part of the cost of these municipalities?
Chairman Osborne.
Yes, and I've forgotten the amount that we had originally a requirement that they provide. I remember the number 15 to 25% somewhere in there in matching funds. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
There being no further discussion, question being called on the Amendment 28. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Before us, we have Section 048, Department of Health. Is there any further discussion? Representative Eichel.
Madam Chairman, thank you. With regard to the footnote, if I could just have an explanation of the telehealth function, there was the reduction of close to $3 million. And the reason was due to the change in availability of federal funding. That certainly doesn't mean, does it, that they came across with funding and therefore we didn't have to do it. But what is the, how does that fit in?
Representative Miley.
Madam Chairman, what happened with this was that the federal funds were totally deleted. And we asked the Department of Health, well, then how they could function without that. And they were okay with that, but the program's going to go away. But they were okay with that because the federal funds are gone.
Chairman Phil.
There was just less money available. So, why there was a reduction?
Are there further questions or discussion? Further discussion? Question being called?
Excuse me, Madam Chairman, I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
The Chairman of the Appropriations Committee might mention, since we are on this section, the $65 million for the Medicaid match. Were you going to mention that here or in a different section? Yeah. Oh, you did. Okay, I'm sorry.
Chairman, help.
It's in the section 300. We will talk about that later, but we get to that one.
Further discussion? Question being called? All those in favor? Section 048, Department of Health, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 048, Department of Health, has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In an effort to maybe save a little bit of time on the floor, I consulted with the minority and majority floor leaders as well as the Chairman of Appropriations. And if the body would indulge, what I would recommend is that on sections that do not have amendments, if we move those as a herd, and then you would be able to still discuss each and every one of them to our heart's content, but then we would, and then you would also have the option if you want to pull one out of the herd. But then at the end, we'll vote for them in sections, and then we'll go to the next one that has an amendment. And if that's agreeable to the body, I think we will be able to accomplish our purpose and maybe save a little time. But it may just be what concerns me is I still want, if you have questions, to be sure to ask that about that particular section. I certainly don't want that to be minimized at all. But if you would consider doing that, we will try that after section 49. I believe the first ones will be possibly 51 to 56.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Chairman Phil?
I know we're talking about doing more than just the board. Well, we've got quite a few amendments, and I think it's going to get kind of confusing. But
Mr. Speaker?
Maybe to clarify, if it has an amendment, it wouldn't be on the list. Those would be taken up separately.
Chairman Phil?
We'll have to make a list.
Mr. Speaker?
Thank you. For example, what I would recommend is once we finish with I believe 49, the next group that does not have an amendment in a row, as I see it, are many of the boards, 51 through 56. And then I believe 57 has an amendment. And we have 58 through 84 that do not. So that would be my suggestion. It's whatever works best for the Appropriations Committee.
Chairman Phil?
I move section 049, Department of Family Health.
Family Services, who will be presenting that? Mr. Chairman?
Representative Warren.
Madam Chairperson, just so everybody knows that there will be a test on this when we're done today, so I'd like you all to be taking notes. We're on page 14 of the cheat sheet and page 37 of the budget. I'll try to go through this fairly quickly. There are some amendments in this budget. There is a handout that you will find among all your papers that shows the whole budget, and that might answer some questions, and I hope that will be helpful. Briefly, the Department of Family Services consists of 759 employees. Their main services are economic assistance, juvenile and child protective services, child support enhancement, early childhood development, and they have 27 field offices. And to go through their budget exceptions briefly, one of their big exceptions that I think is real important is they had an increase in the monthly stipend for foster parents. That was around $4,800. They had a request for $1 million for the increased the parenting skills training, PPP. That was denied by JAC. They had some requests for some additional staffing, six social service aides for direct services. That was approved by the governor and JAC, $388,000. JDC did add four additional crisis beds for the PAL and Hunt and Rollins, which added $300,000 to the budget. There was $6 million added to the budget for the court-ordered placement. And again, that has been a growing program. There have been some concerns. Right now, that budget for DFS is at $22 million. So we just added $6 million. And it's $10 million for education, and it's around $6 million for the Department of Health. So it's a pretty expensive program. There were services funded for children that are reentering the community after placement in residential care. There was funding for 12 vehicles, funding for some at the boys' school for some youth service technicians to serve for the 24-hour and some security officer funding and some camera upgrades. There was funding to assist with the tracking of fraudulent Medicaid expenses or Medicaid applications that were fraudulent throughout the state. There was $2 million for the Comprehensive Job Training and Self-Sufficiency Program. Many of you have heard about that. Our Families, Our Future, and the CLIMB program. I think the other big area was the Children and Family Initiative. There was a request for the $14 million, and that was, again, put into the bill that we just talked about for the House Bill 92. And there was funding to increase some TANF funding losses for
early childhood daycare, and that will allow the daycare to continue and the funding not to be cut by TANF. That's a real brief overview, and if there are any questions, I'm sure answer them. Are there any? Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Two couple questions. I noticed that on the positions by agency, they started out wanting 27, and JEC cut it by 12, and now it's 15. That seems a lot, 15 for this agency. And I think you said that they have 27 field offices, which seems an awful lot since we only have 23 counties. It just appears that we're just continuing to grow, and I'm not sure it's warranted yet.
Representative Point. Madam Chairman, in response to a couple of those, there were additional staff needed at the high school just for protection for suicide watch and so on, and those positions were added to increase. There have been increased demands on the DFS office throughout the state because of the increased need for some of their services. And there were a number of positions requested that DFS had made that were not authorized. So I think we tried to find a balance between growth and need. Representative Spencer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If I passed by the Father Factor program was denied funding, I'd be interested in hearing that, as I think it's a really good program.
Representative Warren, Madam Chairman, in response to that, the concern the AJC had with that program is it could be considered a new program. However, the funding was just intended for 1 year. Father Factor is a program that helps single dads to get involved with their kids. It's a program here in Cheyenne. It's very successful. They wanted to replicate it throughout the state and have this person go around the state and get it begun in other counties, although it is a volunteer type of program. And so that was just concerned about it being a new program. Additional questions? Then I would say it's time for House Bill 1, Amendment Number 12. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 12 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a handout that went out to you. It's two pages at the top right. It says Simpson, and it has two numbers on it. HW012, which is this amendment, and the following amendment, which is HW013. The amendment we're on, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 12, is a request for general fund dollars of $1,350,000 to be expended in the fiscal year. This is 1 year funding to be expended in the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2006, to increase the daily rate for Wyoming Youth Service Association group homes and non-Medicaid residential treatment centers. The reason you have two amendments, this one and the following, is because this amendment is 1 year funding, and the second one is a different section, but it's biennial funding. The need for these group home, the rate increase, let me tell you why these weren't included in the DFS budget. They were not provided by the director to the governor as part of the agency request. And the director in testimony before the Joint Appropriations Committee indicated to us that he was fairly ambivalent about this funding. There is, you'll see in the handout, that the increased funding for the second half of the biennium on this particular appropriation will be determined in the 2007 legislative session after reviewing results of the rate study being done by an outside resource, and the name of that resource is there. These rates increase. But this amendment increases the rates from $85 a day to $125 a day for 102 beds. And co- current rates are about 90% of 1996 costs. The request is for 100% of 2004 allowable costs. Now let me make sure I'm stating this correctly. Those were for $85 a day to $125 a day for 102 beds with 80% occupancy for 1 year. The termination in the budget for these sections did not grant that rate increase and kept it at those very low 1996 and at 96 rates. They're simply asking for really what are 2004 costs. We've increased rates throughout our budgets and tried to keep people in services that we provide at a cost of living that approaches the current cost of living to keep up with that. And these dollars are needed to allow these services, association group homes, and the non-Medicaid residential treatment centers to be able to provide these services at somewhere close to their actual cost. We will have a much better idea next year about what those costs are in the Navigant study. Really, we can't wait. We need to improve these rates this year. Did it answer any questions, Madam Chairman?
Representative
Eichel. Thank you, Madam Chairman. What I'd like to ask is, with regard to this, the rate has increased, and then when it says 102 beds on the one and 38 on the other, is that an expansion or is that maintaining the same number of beds that have been approved before?
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Those are not increases in beds, actually. When we're only funding a certain percentage of the beds, say we fund 50% of the beds, and that's the average, but those beds of those association group homes, their average occupancy is 75 beds, and we fund them at 35. This is really addressing the next one. But it is not an increase in the number of beds. It's bringing up the number of beds that are addressed by the rate increase.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I would encourage the body to adopt this amendment. It's been 10 years since the providers have got any kind of rate increase. There are two in my county that I've visited, and I've actually been to see the kids there. And the services they provide are court ordered. That's without a rate increase over 10 years. You can see they've not kept track with the costs of providing services to the children. So I would encourage adoption of this amendment.
Chairman Phil?
I would, Chairman, speak against this amendment. And I have a question. I didn't hear exactly what you raised the rate up to, and I don't have that sheet. What kind of a percentage of an increase is this, and why so much of an increase when we've got a rate study going on this year?
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not sure what the percentage raise is. It's to increase it from $85 a day to $125 per day for 102 beds. With 80% occupancy for 1 year. Those rates have been in existence. $85 per day has been in existence from 1996. The request to $125 a day is a request based upon 100% of the actual cost of the 2004 provision of those services. And so we're still 2 years behind. At $125 per day.
Is there further discussion with regard to amendment number 12? Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, well, with this much of an increase to the budget, I would just ask that there are any amendment. Which side of the counter are we going to take this out of?
Representative Osborne.
What's your account number?
Representative Osborne.
Well, this act proposes to go from 85 to 125. That's about a 50% increase. It's also over 10 years, so that's about 5% per year.
Additional discussion? Hearing none, the question being called. All those in favor of amendment number 12, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. The next amendment to come before us is amendment number. Division is having been called for. All those in favor, please stand for amendment number 12. Those opposed, stand. You need to stand for the exercise. I think some people could use some more blood to the brain here. All right, you may be seated. The motion passes. This brings us to amendment number 13. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Madam Chairman, I move the committee to hold amendment number 13 to House Bill 1. This is a request for. And I'm sorry I didn't respond to the question of the appropriations, Chairman. I'll try to do that this time. Ask for $800,000, general fund dollars, to be expended to increase the daily crisis shelter rate from $75 per day to $90 per day for 71 beds. Now, the budget, agency 049, includes a rate increase of $15 per day, and that's what this is asking for. But it only applies to 35 beds. And to biennialize another 35 beds to take it to 71 beds, it will require the $800,000. The capacity that was used to determine the budget amount, it is actually really less than half of the actual occupancy rate of these beds. It was determined at 35 beds, and it is actually 75 beds. So we're trying to achieve 71 beds to really meet the actual occupancy that exists in Wyoming for these crisis shelter beds. So it expands the concept in the budget. And where the governor approved the increase of $15 per day for non-treatment group homes, these crisis shelter beds, and simply asking this body to acknowledge the actual occupancy out there and increase it. These monies obviously can only come from a few sources. Legislative stabilization reserve account, permanent funds, or somewhere else within the agencies that you're hearing about to juggle these dollars. So I stand for any questions.
Mr. Miley, Representative Miley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a little confused on some of this because I thought in the House bill for the mental health that we, which is $38 million, that there was some money in that for crisis bed and for emergency treatment and that sort of thing. And now, part of that was to increase their
there's a whole different set of beds out there that we're now trying to additionally fund.
Madam Chairman, no, it isn't. The $38 million in Hospital 91 covers a huge scope of mental health and substance abuse services. These address beds that we currently have in Wyoming for juvenile shelter care. And Hospital 91 does not distinguish between juvenile or adult, but it's typically targeted to adult crisis stabilization beds, but there's nothing in House Bill 91 that specifically addresses these shelter care beds.
Representative Wiley. Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me like in the departments there's like a 5% flex, and it seems to me like with the 38 million that there may be enough in there to flex a little bit into taking care of these additional beds. So, Mr. Chairman, I would not be in favor of passing this. Thank you.
Representative Langer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On it for the amendment. What these crisis beds are for juveniles that have something's happened at home, or they have misbehaved and been picked up, and they need a place to go for a night, a week, and until things stabilize and they can go back home. And so we have found these actually critical up in our part of the state, and they have been funded by this amount that we have from the state, but also the agency that provides these. They've gotten money from concerts, and they've diverted some of their money actually from their, I can't remember the name, it's another program, but they are right on the edge, and this is actually a relatively small appropriation that will go across the state that is going to keep these places alive and open so that there will be a place for youth to go. And I think this is really important that we maintain this.
Madam
Chairman, I agree with this previous speaker that said that they can flex some money or if it's necessary to go, there could be a limit. But this is a $262 million appropriation for one agency. And, you know, with these two amendments, we're just growing that figure. And maybe this one's a little smaller, but, you know, it's our bottom line in it. And I appreciate the explanation that ultimately it will impact our savings goals. So I'll leave it up to you. You decide.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. The average occupancy was 35 children in the budget. The Wesley Group Homes averaged 75 children. And the budget request, these rates are based on 04-05 biennial budget and need to be increased. So I urge your favorable vote.
Representative Golden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I'm not questioning the need. I think there is a need, and I know the cost is always going to escalate. I think, as long as we continue to support and create provider-based systems, we are not going to have any kind of cost controls or cost containments. I think, and this is just a comment on the escalating costs, and yes, they're going to be here next year for us as long as we continuously support and create provider-based systems. Perhaps the thing to do is to look at a consumer-based system where the money, in fact, follows the client, and we may see a leveling off or decreases. Thank you.
Further discussion? There being none. The question before us,
Amendment number 13. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. The next amendment, division. All those in favor, please stand. Okay, those opposed, stand. The amendment passes. The next amendment to come before us is Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 14 to House Bill 1. Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, I move Amendment Number 14 to House Bill 1, Committee of the Whole Amendment. What this amendment is it puts in $1 million back into the Bearing Skills Program Culture Company. The reason I'm bringing this forward is this program is already established in the state of Wyoming, and when we were reviewing it in JAC, there was a question that we thought it was a new program, so we took the funding out. We discovered it is an existing program. It's called the Triple P program. It works with Uplift and Wyoming Family Network and so on. The funding actually comes out of TANF funding, so it's not general funding, and there is money in the TANF account for this. And so I would ask your support for this and would answer any questions.
Chairman Phil.
Well, I would speak against this. It doesn't affect the savings accounts. But so often we see under these programs, we establish a program, and then federal government comes in and pulls the money out. And I think in this entire budget, there's somewhere around $50 million of general fund money that replaces federal fund money.
Additional discussion? There being none, the question being called, all those in favor of amendment number 14, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division, the chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Motion fails. Is there further discussion with regard to Section 049, Department of Family Services? The question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Section 049, Department of Family Services, has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, now we're going to pause and move down. Madam Chairman, I want to move sections 51 through 56. Madam Chairman, I'm going to move as a group. And the first one is section 041. As that group, section 052, and the licensing board, section 054, board of nursing, section 055, board of task commission, section 156, All those agencies have amendments, but I think, Madam Chairman, that we should give the body the option to put any of them off of the list. And the last one, but the last one that I would like to give a little bit of explanation for.
Does anyone in the body wish to pull off any of those sections? Chairman Phelps, if you could.
First of all, Madam Chairman, I wonder if there's anybody that objects to that.
Are there any objections? Representative Olson.
I'd like to pull 051 myself.
Madam Chairman, then what we have remaining are the other boards within the group. And I just read off, we have Section 052 Medical Licensing Board, Section 054 Board of Nursing, Section 055 Board of Health Commission, and Section 056 Board of Optometry.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Representative Olson.
Can I get a clarification? I think the chairman was going to explain 051, and that's actually all I wanted. I don't need to have a discussion on it. I think that's...
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Chairman.
I think I can explain that without pulling it off the list. I didn't intend to explain it.
I would withdraw my request to pull it off the list.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Chairman Phelps, would you please explain Section 051 Livestock Board?
Madam Chairman, members of the Livestock Board are land inspection and recording and livestock health. They have the following programs within their administration: animal health, brucellosis, land recording and permits, and land inspection, and predator control fees. Of control fees is actually a pass-through. The brand inspectors collect a fee on fees on cattle and sheep when they're brand inspected, along with horses and mules. And that predator fee is the correct predator fee at the same time that's passed through to the county predator boards. The brand inspection program brand inspection fees and recording fees are deposited in the brand inspection account. And the JAC had to add $360,000. And I am glad to meet with the state auditor and also with the state data, and it appears that that number is not quite enough. And I'll probably be bringing an amendment to increase that amount of general fund. With that, Madam Chairman, I would stand for any questions with the Livestock Board.
Are there any questions with 051? Are there any questions with any of the other sections before us as proposed? There being no questions being called, all those in favor of Sections 051, 052, 054, 055, 056, indicate by saying aye. Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Sections 051, 052, 054, 055, 056 is passed the committee of the whole. Yes. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the committee of the whole rise report with respect to the action taken today in committee of the whole on Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
I hear the motion. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? No. The motion carries.
Committee of the whole report.
Thank you.
will be any easier for just to until we get the committee of the whole report. It's on its way.
Mr. Speaker, the program with respect to the budget bill committee took carriage as follows. Section 22 adopted, Section 23 adopted, Section 124 adopted, Section 125 adopted, Section 126 adopted, Section 027 adopted, Section 028 adopted, Section 029 adopted, Section 030 adopted, Section 031 adopted, Section 033 adopted, Section 034 adopted, Section 035 adopted, Section 037 adopted, Section 038 adopted, Section 039 adopted, Section 040 adopted, Section 041 adopted, Section 042 adopted, Section 044 adopted, Section 045 adopted, Section 048 adopted, amended. And further amended, Section 048 adopted, Section 049 adopted, amended. And further amended, Section 049 adopted, Section 051, Section 052, Section 054, Section 055, Section 056 adopted, House Bill 1, Section 23 through Section recommended you pass. Signed, Representative Hammond's chair.
Representative Hammond's.
Mr. Speaker, I move for the adoption of the entire Committee of the Whole report on Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report is now to thank the representative. Reports.
Mr. Speaker, I'm told by the Committee to provide agriculture public lands and water resources to the House referred Senate Bill 18 and walks respectfully upon saying back to the House with the recommendation that you pass with the following amendments: Eyes, Brown, Davison, Magnum, Jackson, Morgan, Samuelson, Salick, Harold, Dirks, Powers, Sanders, and Magnum, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions to the House referred Senate Bill 10. Respectfully, of course, I'm back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Eyes, Barton, Dirks, Avery, Hillaway, Martin, McCauley, Mercer, Miller, Olson, signed, Representative Hillaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Elections and Political Subdivisions, Corporations, to the House with Senate File 73, respectfully, of course, I'm back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Eyes, Barton, Dirks, Avery, Hillaway, Martin, McCauley, Mercer, Miller, Olson, signed, Representative Hillaway, Chairman.
Excellent, Chairman Childers. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, your committee number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning, Wednesday, March the 11th at 9 a.m. for a short meeting in room H10 to discuss interim topics as a prelude for the next week's interim topics discussion. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. In honor of Kurt Budget Day, there was an economist at the University of Chicago, and he was somewhat of a libertarian and a free marketer, and there was very little that he would ever be happy with. Any proposal he opposed, finally all his colleagues asked him if there wasn't anything that he could be in favor of. And he thought about it for a while, and he said he could be in favor of one proposal, and that would be that there would be fewer reformers. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider Senate File 39 and Gross Uniform Fraudulent Transfers Act.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs will meet immediately upon adjournment in room H17. Dismiss Senate File 27, Motor Vehicle Insurance Verification. Senate File 49, Ignition Interlock Devices.
and Senate filed the Emergency Management Assistance Compact.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, Committee Number 3, I will meet tomorrow morning at Dock, page 11, to continue consideration of Senate File 13 and Senate File 11 tomorrow morning.
Chairman Emily. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Thursday at noon and to advise the committee. Bills that we're going to look at on Thursday has been revised from what we discussed today. When we discussed Senate File 21 Corridor Requirement, Senate File 107 Engrossed Fire Protection District Powers, Senate File 77 Engrossed CPAs, and Senate File 64 Engrossed County Attorneys Reimbursement Form.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, in honor of Curmudgeon Day, your committee Number 4, House Education will meet Wednesday, March 1st, 2006, upon adjournment in Room 302 to hear the following bills. Senate Bill 85, Engrossed Pathway Scholarship Program, Senate Bill 88, Engrossed School Finance Local Tax Payments, and Senate Bill 101, Engrossed Emergency Responders Dependents Tuition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your committee Number 9, Minerals, Measures, and Economic Development. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock on page 18, the first bill for consideration of Senate File 37, School of Energy Resources, the next one is Senate File 83, Industrial Development Bonds, and I would like the members of the committee to bring their thoughts just for the preliminary list on interim topics.
Chairman Phil,
did you have an announcement?
Chairman's great. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, your committee number 2, Bridge Appropriations, will meet Wednesday, March 1st at 8 a.m. at Room 204 to discuss the following bills: Senate File 60, State of Technology Oversight at 8 a.m., Senate File 40, Judicial Retirement at 8:30 a.m., Senate File 91, Retirement Service Purchase Credit, approximately 9 a.m. Signed, F. Rich, Chairman.
Speaker Pro Tem, Agriculture Committee Number 5 will meet at Public Lands and Water Resources will meet Thursday morning at 7:30 in Room 302 to hear Senate File 34, Engrossed Mining Livestock Board Reorganization. Senate File 94, Engrossed Omnibus Water Bill Construction, and Senate File 33, Engrossed Biosecurity Laboratory Task Force, and Senate File 45, Engrossed Pesticide Registration Fee.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your Committee Number 12 on Rules and Procedures will meet this afternoon, Tuesday, February 28th at 5:45 to discuss the following bills. Senate File 4, Public Records, Electronic Mail. Senate File 5, Privileged Communications. Senate File 6, Engrossed State Employee Benefits.
Where will that meeting be?
Excellent question. I knew you were going to ask that. It will be in the basement conference room, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed, please.
General File for tomorrow will be continuation on House Bill 1, the budget bill. Senate File 13. Senate File 52. Senate File 19. Senate File 55. Senate File 12. Senate File 9. Senate File 61. Senate File 15. Senate File 56. Senate File 22. Senate File 29. Senate File 41, Senate File 20, Senate File 43, Senate File 42, Senate File 23, Senate File 7, and other bills that may come our way by tomorrow morning. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourned until tomorrow, Wednesday, March 1st at 9:30 a.m.
You've heard a motion. All those in favor, please say aye. House opposed?
adjourn until 9:30 tomorrow morning.